Perhaps it's not surprising that many consumers balk at reading the long disclosure statements in complex finance products, usually because it's in fine print and often because there's quite a lot of it. Now there's a study proving just how ineffective those long statements are. A joint study by Australia's corporate watchdog ASIC and the Dutch financial regulators found often the information doesn't tell you all you should know. In fact, the Australian Securities and Investments Commission Deputy Chair Karen Chester says some of the information is highly misleading. Ms. Chester is speaking here with senior business correspondent Peter Ryan.
I think it's fair to say that consumers have a right to feel like they're glazing over, especially when it comes to disclosure in the financial system, Peter. The financial system's pretty complex, but what we've found in this report is that the over-reliance on disclosure hasn't worked. It's not the silver bullet that it was once thought to be, and it really shouldn't be relied upon.
What are some of the big financial products that disclose too much or have an over-reliance on disclosure, where financial services companies can say, well, we've disclosed everything and we've done the right thing, but that's not always the case?
Well, nearly all financial products, Peter. So insurance, superannuation, investment products, credit cards, bank accounts, right through to financial advice. So the Hayne Royal Commission, Commissioner Hayne had a terrific quote where he said the idea of disclosure underpins the now teetering edifice of PDSs. So your point about people being swamped by the paperwork, and it's paperwork that doesn't really help them make decisions.
Is it the case that some companies might use disclosure as a way to bamboozle clients or consumers or work around some of the guidelines that they have to work within?
That's right, Peter. So unnecessary product complexity and sludge that can get in the way of consumers switching products or making complaints.
So with disclosure, and people are confronted almost every day with pages of legalese for signing onto a product, is it understandable that some people might check the box and move on and think they're covered?
Even when you were dealing with a consumer that had higher financial literacy and was numerate, it didn't really shift the dial. It's really difficult for people to maintain attention and then be able to objectively identify what's the best product for them.
ASIC has recently been using its product intervention powers to rein in shady practices, for example, payday lenders, credit card companies, credit card insurance. So will ASIC be going in harder to rein in these companies who exploit the confusion over disclosure?
We do have new regulatory power. So at ASIC, we're going to be very much more focused on consumer outcomes and making the most of our enhanced regulatory toolkit. And you rightly identified the new product intervention powers, which we will use when warranted.
And speaking of disclosure, there's now another inquiry into banks, this one being run by the ACCC, into mortgage pricing and official rate cuts held back in part by banks. Is that another area of disclosure that consumers aren't fully informed on?
So the issue of the loyalty tax is alive and well. Indeed, it does relate to the work of this report. What it points to is the unnecessary complexity and the sludge in the system that makes it really difficult for consumers to switch mortgage products.
So you're seeing that sludge in the system when it comes to banks being totally upfront and clear about the way they pass on Reserve Bank rate cuts?
Well, it's not just the Reserve Bank rate cuts. So not everyone's paying the standard variable rate, and it's very difficult for a consumer to identify what rate they're really paying compared to what's being offered to somebody who's a new customer, so people could work out whether or not they were getting a good deal or whether they were being hit with a loyalty tax today.
And just on the Royal Commission, a few weeks ago, ASIC levelled 87 criminal charges against CommInsure, the CBA's insurance arm, and ASIC is investigating about a dozen other cases. Is there an update on when we might see more action against other banks?
Peter, I think it's fair to say that we have a very large pipeline of investigations and enforcement action underway. Many of those from the Royal Commission referrals and case studies. But at the end of the day, we saw that an over-reliance on disclosure in some ways proved an enabler for the poor conduct and poor consumer outcomes that were revealed in the Financial Services Royal Commission.
That's Karen Chester, the Deputy Chair of the Corporate Regulator ASIC, speaking there with Peter Ryan.